batter up. This is episode 90 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Surovich. Hi, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So, this episode of the podcast is not going to be a very cheerful one from a Mets perspective, because, like, everything is falling apart again. The Mets are getting guys back from the injured list. They have been in droves almost, or at least it feels like droves after they didn't get anyone back for like weeks, months on end. Like they avoided yet another close call with Jacob DeGrom. He exited his, like, not his most recent start, but his start before that early again with yet another unconnected issue to his previous issues. He was visibly frustrated after the post-game presser, saying, like, I don't understand why this keeps happening, but, like, these things are minor. I'm fine. And, I mean, he showed that by pitching five scoreless innings again in his start yesterday, so it should be okay. Also, his ERA is 0.50 now, so there's that.
It's time to turn up the difficulty level.
Yeah.
He's been playing this on beginner for way too long.
Also, they checked him for foreign substances, and he obviously did not have any. But we'll get to more of that on that later. Luis Guillorme is back from the injured list. Albert Almora is back from the injured list. Jeff McNeil is back from the injured list. And Conforto will likely be back tomorrow. And Nimmo soon after that. So, like, they're getting players back.
And JD in, like, 2 weeks.
And JD in, like, 2 weeks,
don't
which we learned.
About JD.
Late breaking. I think we learned that like a few hours ago. So,
like, I do want to add, because it is so Metsy, that the reason Conforto wasn't activated today is because he's awaiting a negative COVID test out of an abundance of caution, because so-called Syracuse Mets have a COVID situation.
Yep. Good job. So not getting fine. To 85% vaccination, Mets. Awesome. Awesome work. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it's so not like you need players or anything. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's not like
announcement of teams. And I'm just like, Mets? Nope. Fine. Nope. Okay.
Okay. It's not, not like you're constantly needing to call up players from AAA or anything, and it's actually affecting the Big League club or anything like that. So it's like on the surface, it's like, oh, great. All these guys are coming back. Like, this is awesome. But like, they're dropping as fast as they're coming back. And the problem is that the guys that are coming back are position players, which is awesome, because that's been the more dire situation for the most part. But now it's kind of flipped the other side. The pitching situation is now, ooh, like I don't know, threat level red. Like, this is getting to be really, really bad. Even before tonight, so we'll talk about tonight in a minute. Like, literally right before we started recording, it got yet even worse. But before tonight, we had Robert Gzelman tear his lat. Joey Lucchese probably needs Tommy John surgery, although
he's,
I think
he definitely needs it.
Yeah.
Oh, he definitely needs it. Cool.
Yeah, he's getting it Thursday.
All right, he's getting Tommy John surgery. I mean, that seemed like it was the case, but he, like, was getting a second opinion, which I guess he got.
It's completely torn, they said.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the technical definition was that the crap was torn out of his UCL.
Yes, yes.
Poor Joey. I was going to adopt him as my new man. Look what happened.
It's all borked, as we say in the industry. So yeah, Joey Lucchese getting Tommy John surgery, so his season is over. And
he was pitching well.
Yeah, he was starting to pitch well. Like, he still wasn't going, you know, deep into games, but he was giving the Mets, you know, 4 or 5 scoreless innings, 1-run innings, etc. He was starting to settle into a groove. He was like cemented as the fifth starter. They had nobody else. And so poor Joey Lucchese. I feel really bad for him. It's heartbreaking. And Jairys Familia, also in the bullpen, has a hip impingement. Unclear how long he'll be out for. Like, obviously, Lucchese clearly out for the year. Gzelman's injury, also very serious, possibly season ending. Familia, less clear how long he'll be sidelined with that. And then we've got a couple of guys that are sort of banged up, but not yet on the injured list. We've got Jonathan VR, who's not in the starting lineup today. He came out of the game yesterday with some calf tightness. Unclear if that will cause an IL stint. Unclear if Tomas Nito will require stint on the IL after being struck with a pitch in like the wrist. It was like the wrist.
I can't believe he's not on the IL.
I have a feeling they're waiting to IL him for Conforto.
On that, the replay on that, I swear it looked like his arm vibrated.
Yes, yeah. It did. It like bent.
It was like, I don't think your bones are supposed to do that.
I felt pain just watching that. Like, it was ugly. And the way, like, and, you know, I mean, his x-rays were negative, they say. So, like, that
I don't know.
That's miraculous. But, like, the way it's very, like, when you see enough of these, sadly, and hit by pitches are on the rise, as you know, the sticky stuff is being eliminated, and also, you know, just pitchers are throwing harder and with less control in general, sticky stuff or not, hit by pitches are on the rise. And like, having seen a lot of these, you kind of know the difference between ones that are bad and ones that are not bad. And like, Nito's look instantly bad, like the way he hung his arm. It just to me looked very broken right away. Like, he just like his arm like flopped down like a noodle.
McNeil just got hit by a pitch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's one of his things, though.
Yeah. That's like what McNeil does.
But yeah, Nito's arm like flopped like a noodle, and then he like couldn't close his fingers for like a few minutes. He finally could, which is why he stayed in the game for just to run, and then they took him out. But like, I don't know, man. I mean, his x-rays are negative. Hopefully he avoided, like, maybe he has like a hairline something that you can't catch on the initial x-ray, but like, if his bone was like fully broken in half, they would have seen it. So at least he avoided that.
Does a catcher really need his wrist anyway?
Yeah, I mean,
just catch with the other hand. You only need one.
Throw with the other.
You only need one. Just, I mean, there have been one-armed catchers.
Yeah, there has been. We just flipped the glove on the other arm.
Yep. Wasn't there a very prominent? Was he a college player?
Yes.
Who had one arm and he was a catcher and he was like amazing. He would just like stand up and like flip the ball up to his arm. And then he would just throw guys out.
Seamlessly.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. I should look up the video of that. That was amazing. Anyway, Nito can just do that very easy, obviously. but yeah, so we've got a couple guys banged up that unclear whether they'll hit the IL. I mean, worth noting that one of the guys they called up today to sort of replenish the team was Patrick Mazika, who's technically a catcher. So they have three technically active catchers on the team right now, but they did that for a time when both Nito and McCann were healthy. So who knows? It may just, I mean, like, the Mets have nobody else really. So like, Patrick Mazika is one of the best players they have available anyway. So it might just be because of that, but.
This team could use some walk-off fielder's choice.
Yeah.
We run scoring plays they got in the tank. And if there's anything we know Patrick Mazika knows how to do, it's hit into a run scoring fielder's choice.
Yes. We need that very specifically right now. So yeah, all of that happened. And oh, listener, it gets worse. Today, after the first inning, in the second inning, Marcus Stroman came out of the game with some sort of hip soreness. Like, his hip, you could tell he was not comfortable out there. He started like flexing his hip, trying to stretch it out. They had a meeting on the mound, which lasted a very long time, as Stroman threw like warm-up pitches in between to try to convince them, I'm fine, really. And James McCann was like, bro, you can't possibly do this. And so like, he had to be talked out of pitching, because I think, and like Gary, Keith and Ron said this on the broadcast, they said, like, you know, if this were an ordinary circumstance, he would have been out of the game instantly. It's just the fact that the Mets have literally nobody to pitch that he's still in the game, because Gesellman, their long man, is already hurt, and Sean Reed Foley has already pitched many innings. Like, he's not available. Well,
and they had a doubleheader yesterday.
So it's like, they literally have no one. So like, then, you know, Yenzi Diaz comes out and loads the bases and somehow gets out of it, which is incredible.
He did not get out of it in the next inning.
Yes, unfortunately. Unfortunately, no.
And don't they have another doubleheader coming up, or did I just press myself into that belief? No, they do. Okay.
Against the A's. Right.
They absolutely do. It's on Friday, right?
It's great. We love it.
It's great. They have, and like literally, they still don't have an announced starting pitcher for tomorrow's game.
To be fair, neither have the Braves.
Neither have the Braves. I mean, the Braves have also had a last minute pitching injury come up. Yeah. So Max Fried is once again on the injured list, which is not good for them. So it's TBD versus TBD tomorrow. Really exciting pitching matchup we got going. The Mets. The Mets have what seems like a likely pencil in guy. They just picked up Robert Stock off waivers. Stock has been optioned. Stock has been optioned. Stock has been optioned to AAA, after his acquisition, but I imagine they'll be calling him up for Wednesday's game. Yeah. And I mean, if y'all saw Robert Stock pitch against the Mets the last time, it was not pretty. So that's the level of pitcher that we're getting at this point. Guys who are on
Eichhoff waiver was wire. Okay.
He was okay. He was okay.
Surprise.
Yeah, but they need somebody else. Yeah. Like it's not Eichhoff's turn again yet. Like desperate for Jared Eichhoff's turn in the rotation.
Oh God.
Oh. When is DeGrom's throw day? Just out of curiosity. An inning.
As a treat. I just
if we just tell him it's a bullpen session and like hang up a sheet or something around so he doesn't really see.
Like, I mean, we obviously don't know how serious this issue is with Stroman. It could just be like his hip tightened up on him. He's fine. Kind of like the various DeGrom things that have happened. It's, you know, a minor thing. He'll be okay when he has his throw day and he'll declare himself good to go, or it could be bad. And if it's bad, then like, I don't know, like people were crapping on me in Amazing Avenue Slack for saying this, but like if Stroman's like hurt, I don't see how the season's not over. Like, I know they're in first place still. I get it. I understand conceptually the NL East is really bad, but like there comes a point where it's too many injuries to sustain. And
Stroman is going to miss real time, then I think what it really comes down to is how soon can they convince any other team to trade starting pitching.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a solid like 5 weeks before the
trading deadline.
That's pretty early, but not like insanely early. And I feel like ultimately they could probably hang in there if they could get, you know, and when I say hang in there, I don't mean like win a bunch of games, but I mean like not be out of it within a few weeks. So if they can get someone like around the All-Star break, I feel like that would keep them in the game, but it's a lot of ifs.
Well, and yeah, also the issue too is teams know they're desperate, so yeah, they can ask for anything at this point. It's like, okay, you want, you know, just use Herman Marquez as an example, give me Ronnie Mauricio, give me
and more. Yeah like Herman Marquez has years of team control. That's a guy that's not a rental. That's going to cost more than Ronnie Mauricio. And we're at the point where, I mean, like I am always in favor of trying, and when I say I think the season is over with the current crop, if Stroman's injury is serious, with the current crop of people they have right now, with the injuries they have right now, I find it hard for them to stay above water if they do not do something immediately, or like, you know, by a few weeks from now. But like,
yeah, the rotation is currently DeGrom, Walker, Eichhoff, Robert Stock, and TBD.
Me saying that does not mean that I think they should punt the season. They should not. They should try to salvage this season. They should try very hard. I am always in favor of trying. But the problem is that it's going to cost. And Mets fans are not going to be happy with the amount that a good pitcher will cost. Like people keep throwing around, like, you want Berrios? oh, you want Berrios? It's going to cost like three of the prospects that are in the, like, and at least one of that, like, untouchable tier.
Yeah.
Like, well, guys that have some control.
Yeah, how Mets Twitter loves their probably, prospects.
The best bet would probably be to target, like, not exactly like Scherzer because he's so good, but someone like Scherzer who is getting paid a lot and is, you know, really like a true rental end of the season, you know, leaving at the end of the season, because then the Mets like are in a position to absorb some cash. And, you know, a team, now that we're in an era where, you know, the flag that flies is who had the lowest payroll at the end of the season, like, teams do want to shed that payroll and get what they can for it. And I feel like the market for rental players, you know, for that reason has continued to get worse and worse. And they might have not the worst time prying away one of those type players. Again, not like next week, but, you know, 3 weeks from now, things start to come together a little more. I think it's possible.
Right. And I think, I mean, like, then you're looking at, like Linda mentioned, Madison Bumgarner, like, that's the tier you're looking at, which is fine if you're replacing Joey Lucchese only. But then when you're, like, talking about, you know, Stroman being sidelined for a long time, you need someone better than that in addition. And, like, that's the problem that you start to run into. If you're just trying to get a fifth starter on a rental, you can do that. That's a like, hole you can patch. But if you're trying to, like, replace Stroman's production, that's a number two, number one starter you're looking at here. And there are, like, those are not a dime a dozen. Like, then you're looking at, you kind of have to try to trade for someone like Berrios. And that's, like, not, I mean, you know, they can do it. They have the pieces, but Mets fans are not going to be happy with how much they'll have to empty the farm to do it. And I mean, I would be in favor of it. I think SNY floated a Berrios trade proposal.
Oh, yeah.
That was like Mauricio, JT, Ginn, and
Jumbo Santos.
Santos. And I was like, I'm driving them to the airport. I'm sorry. Like, I'm doing it Berrios today.
Got another year, doesn't he?
Yes, he's got one more year of team control. I mean, like, he's not Stroman good, but he's like a mid rotation starter.
Well, and that's the problem. Like, the teams that you have to target are the teams out of it, and they're out of it for a reason. Like, the bad teams have very few good players.
Right.
Like, they're bad for a reason. So even
like, you're not going to bark up the Orioles tree for starting pitching because their pitching is historically bad.
You want
bad.
Matt Harvey back?
Yeah. Like, if we want Matt Harvey back, I'm sure that the Orioles will take, you know, whatever low level prospect we will give them for Matt Harvey. I am sure they will.
Means still hurt.
Means is still hurt. Yes. Oh, means is still hurt.
I will give the Orioles an extremely enthusiastic thumbs up for Matt Harvey.
Yes.
That's
please,
my final
sir. Offer. One, please, sir. May we have one slightly used Matt Harvey?
I made a very fair trade offer to the Rockies. I offered them three innings of Jacob DeGrom in, let's say, a random game in July, maybe mid-July, where maybe some other all-stars are in attendance, in exchange for Herman Marquez. You get three innings of Jacob DeGrom. I think that's a fair trade.
Seems fair.
Like, come on, at least consider it.
Please, please.
Please, I'm please begging.
The Orioles have, like, yeah, John Means is hurt still. There's Matt Harvey, number two starter Matt Harvey. And Bruce,
wait, is he seriously their number two starter?
He was. I mean, like, oh, I don't Lord. Think he, I don't think he is anymore, like, given how poorly he's pitched. But, like, going into the season, he was their number two starter. And I mean, but obviously Bruce Zimmerman has pitched much better than Matt Harvey. And he is now, I would say, like, the quote ace of their staff in absence of John Means. But, like, he's, you know, he's like not a rookie, but he's got, like, many years of team control. So they are not surrendering that for
nothing. Yeah, he's not gone anywhere.
So, you know, it's just.
Do the Pirates have anybody? I don't even know. The Pirates are really bad.
I can't name a Pirates starting pitcher at this time.
I cannot either.
I think I'm starting to figure out the mystery of why the Pirates are so bad.
Who is on the Pirates starting rotation in that situation? Help.
This is now a call-in show, ladies and gentlemen.
Like, yeah.
Like, please tell us who is on the Pirates.
On the Pirates starting staff.
We need the Pirates roster resource stat. This is the level that we're at now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, my God. Chad Cull is their number three starter. Ooh.
Oh, my.
Chad Cull, I'm only aware of him because he went to University of Delaware. He's like one of the only University of Delaware products to ever make the major leagues. And the fact that, and he was like in my, like he was drafted in 2013, which was like my senior year, my graduating class. So like, he has a special place in my heart, but like, but a, you know, a rotation.
A special place in a major league rotation.
Exactly. A rotation stalwart. He is not. So the fact that he is their number three starter is incredible.
So who's number one?
Tyler Anderson is their number one starter. Like this
wait, rotation. Chasen Shreve is on the Pirates.
Chasen Shreve is indeed on the Pirates and like on the major league staff. Like this rotation, ooh. Tyler Anderson, Chase DeYoung, Chad Cull, Will Crow, and JD Brubaker.
Okay, at least two of those names are completely.
Yeah, like this sounds made up. I'm not sure that these guys, I know who Chad Cull is, I've seen him IRL, so I know he's a real guy, but I don't know who these other people are. A Will Crow?
Well, we do face the Pirates right before the All-Star break, and then right after the All-Star break.
Oh, Lord. So two of these, so Cull is homegrown. He was drafted by the Pirates. And as is that guy, Brubaker. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right. I apologize if I'm not. They're both prospects. They were both homegrown. But the others are not. Yeah, I don't. Oh, wow. Okay. Looking at the Pirates roster.
Trevor
is
Cahill?
Dizzy.
Well, he's on the
I mean,
IL,
let's not forget that Phillip Evans is a starter. On the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Poor Phillip Evans. Didn't he get seriously hurt like last year?
He did get seriously hurt last year, but he is alive now and he is their starting left fielder.
Left fielder?
Correct.
Wasn't he like a third baseman?
Correct.
Wow.
Oh, Pirates, honey, what is you doing?
They have like two good players.
They're
spending Adam Frazier's
$30 million
really
on an
player.
Entire baseball team. That's what they're doing.
I am flummoxed. I recognize like maybe four of these names other than Chad Cull on this entire roster. Adam Frazier's
one
of them.
Ben Gamble, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Gregory Polanco, starting right fielder, Gregory Polanco.
Gregory Polanco is still playing baseball.
Yes, and he is the starting
right. In the year of our Lord 2021.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Oh, Colin Moran.
Oh my God. Oh, they've claimed. Oh my God. There's some like remembering some guys here. Like at one point, they claimed Wilmer Defoe off waivers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this is like. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna stop before I go too deep.
Yeah, this is just ESL. Let's just forget about the Pirates.
That's the abyss right there. I'm sorry, Pirates fans. That's rough. Anyway, like even
we
the
all
Mets
been
at
there.
Their most yeah. dead are not that bad. So things with the Mets are not looking good at the moment. They did really well against, you know, two really good teams in the Padres and the Cubs. You know, they took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. They took 3 out of 4 from the Cubs. That was really nice. But then they dropped 3 of 4 to the Nationals. They split a doubleheader with the Braves yesterday, are currently losing again, and have TBD pitching tomorrow. So things are not good.
Losing in division is not good.
Yeah, like that's what, like people, when we were having the debate about like, oh, it's you're wilding out. It's way too early to call the season over. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But like also like, and they were like, but they beat the Padres and the Cubs. And I was like, I would have rather lost those games and won these games in division. These are the games that matter more.
They're a good team. The question is just if they can hold the pitching together to get through the tough stretches. And like, I'm not yet convinced that the answer is definitely no.
Yeah. I mean, again, a lot hinges on how bad this Stroman injury is. A lot hinges on that.
Yeah. Like one star. And the other thing is, this is the worst possible timing for it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're playing like a gajillion games.
They have like 80 games the next 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, you're already into the depths of like having to claim starting pitchers off waivers when ideally, if you're like in an ideal situation where, which the Mets like should have been in right now with all their starters healthy and like, you know, like Carrasco and Syndergaard should have been back by now. Neither are. So if you're in a situation where both of those guys are in your rotation and your other guys are healthy, then you're talking about this stretch of games and you're talking about Joey Lucchese making spot starts, Jordan Yamamoto making spot starts. Like that's the situation you should be in which case, yeah, the Mets are in very good shape, even though they have to play a million games in 3 days. But that's not the case right now. The case right now is that you're already past your pitching depth into like guys being acquired from outside the organization to make spot starts. That is not a good situation.
And we also need the offense to pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah. The bats are dead again.
It's super awesome that they can win all the games where they score 4 runs. So let's try to do more of that, scoring 4 runs. That seems to be a worthwhile goal that they have yet to reach for the last.
I think they're like first or second in pitching and like second to last in runs scored. And it's like, yeah, your pitching's been holding you together at this point, but now they're not. So the pitching's gone, guys.
But you know, we got McNeil back in the lineup. Conforto is coming back tomorrow, unless in true Mets fashion, he does have COVID, which again, yes, that would be again, which would just be too much.
I was going to say, then, he did have COVID once already.
Yes, he did. But we're talking about the Mets here and nothing is beyond
them. Yeah, anything's possible.
And so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of balls up in the air. It's just about how they fall now.
It's like, you know, obviously, this game right now, dire straits. Stroman exited the game early. You had Yenzi Diaz having to eat innings. He did not expect to have to do that today. He has given up a 3 spot in the 3rd inning, but the Mets have scored 0 runs. Like,
they've gotten a hit.
Like, I just.
They have not gotten a hit.
Yeah, because I saw McNeil get hit by a pitch, but I don't think.
Nope. Yeah. No, they're being no hit.
They have not gotten a hit.
They're being no hit at this time. Like, so, and if the Mets,
Charlie Morton, like, come on,
by Charlie Morton. And I mean, if the Mets get shut out again today, that'll be like the 4th time in like a week and a half that they've been shut out. Like they need to start hitting. That needs to stop. And they're getting, like Maggie said, they're getting their starters back. They can't do the shit that they were doing in April again, because the pitching is not in a situation.
This is not Khalil Lee, who has never seen a fastball before. This is Jeff McNeil, who needs to swing the bat and get on base.
Because in April, the position players were healthy and nobody was hitting. They can't do that again because in April, the pitching was good enough that they won a lot of like 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 games. That's going to stop happening very quickly. And they need to start the offense now that it's like, you know, getting to be mostly healthy, needs to start doing its job like big time, please.
Well, and then they had the excuses like, oh, we stopped at starts. Oh, it's cold. Oh, we had a snow out. Oh, we had a rain out. Well, guess what? All those excuses are gone, guys. Like, why aren't you hitting? I get it's hard. I get it. But you got to figure it out.
And like, they got to the point where, I mean, like, soon it's going to be the regulars back in the lineup, so they don't have much of an excuse. But, like, the bench mob stuff was fun while it lasted, but when you play those guys every day for a month, there comes a point where Billy McKinney does, like, with everyday play, gets to be exposed. There comes a point where Jose Peraza gets to be exposed, and we're at that point now.
Like, his defense is great, and that's fine, but somebody's got to get a, like, you could have Jose Peraza in the lineup if you had the rest of your regulars, but and they are getting the regulars back now, but if they're all not hitting, you can't afford to have Jose Peraza in the lineup.
Yeah, it's just so if they start hitting, I'll feel a lot better about all of our pitchers being dead, but I don't feel good about it at this present time.
No, it feels like April all over again, just with everybody dead.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, I really hope Sherman's not super hurt. A lot rides on that. Oh, well, a lot and of you my still feelings hope, ride on that.
And you gotta hope Peterson doesn't turn into a pumpkin again.
Yeah, there's also that. Like, Peterson's been really good in the past, like, few starts he's thrown. And that, as we can attest to, and as we have seen, is not always the case. And every once in a while, you get a big stinker from him. So...
And it's like a couple in a row too. It's not just, oh, oops, he had a rough night. Like it snowballs on him.
Yeah. He's basically like, he's kind of Steven Matz-y. Like it's you traded Steven Matz and now you just have Steven Matz, which
but
is
it's
fine.
Cheaper Steven Matz and other pitchers in the minor leagues. So it's great. It works.
It works.
We have like Steven Matz and Sean Reed Foley now.
And I mean, they kind of turned that trade into Khalil Lee as well.
Yes,
by
they did.
Flipping the other guy that they got in the trade. So, I mean, like,
Mike Wazowski, we were calling
Mike Wazowski. I'm not ripping the trade by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying that, like, David Peterson.
But yes, it is awfully Matz-y.
Is fine if that's like your fourth or your fifth starter, which it was the situation, you know, going into the year, and now he's like the two starter or something, whatever it is now. I don't know. Well, he's the three because
you still have Walker.
Yeah, still have Walker. Okay. Anyway.
For now.
So as I mentioned toward the top of the segment, more baseball wide, the checks for sticky stuff have begun in earnest, and it seems like they are checking everyone. Like, it was rather comical because I know that Buster Olney made a big, you know, production out of Jacob DeGrom is going to be the first guy checked. It's like, yes, Buster, because he's playing in the very first game where they're doing the checks. So Jacob DeGrom was indeed the very first pitcher checked, I think. Like, it was like a big thing because it's like, it really did look like the TSA at the airport. Like, he had to take off his hat and show them his hat. Like, he joked, like, do you want me to undo my belt? Cause they were like looking all around his belt and like his glove, he had to hand it to them. But they did that to the Braves pitcher, like the very next half inning. So like, they seem like they're doing it to everyone. There's been video of them doing it to Yu Darvish and like everybody else.
Although, I don't know if you saw what just happened in the Phillies game.
I did not.
They already checked Scherzer.
Okay. Yeah. And Scherzer was like
he was pissed.
Yeah.
But then Girardi called them for them to check him again in the what fourth the inning, and Scherzer melted down.
Oh my god,
he was heated. All the video is so good, but it's like, you know, now you're gonna get this gamesmanship because the Nationals are winning, so Girardi wants to throw Scherzer off his game, so he called for a check.
Yeah,
which, so like, now you're gonna get like,
if this... you're a guy who that gets in your head, which Scherzer is, you know, Scherzer is an emotional guy on the mound, so you know. That's funny.
Yeah, here we go. Max Scherzer just struck out JT Realmuto to end the fifth and stared at Joe Girardi the whole way to the dugout. When Girardi walked out to say something, Max held up his glove and hat again, taunting him. Girardi was ejected. So clearly something was going on between Scherzer and Girardi. But yeah, no, the video of him, what after Girardi asked it, like he was like, oh, and Davey Martinez is screaming, like, this is what you're going to get. Thing.
Oh, boy. I mean, this is...
Like, Scherzer's undoing his pants on the mound.
This is going to be a shit show, because, like, this is not going to be an isolated incident like this. Like,
no. I was going to say, if it works, other people are going to do it. Like, who's to say Girardi doesn't do that to Jake next?
Yeah, I mean, well, Jake's not going to lose his shit because Jake never loses
his shit. No, because he was totally chill about it, but...
So, Jake was laughing when they checked him. Like,
He was like, okay, what else do you want?
you really think after the parade of Mets players came out and tweeted that Jake's not using substances, I felt pretty confident that he's not, because they would look awfully stupid if he then got caught. So,
I mean, I also believe that most baseball players are stupid enough to publicly state that their favorite guy on their staff is not using substances. But I also think that if Jacob DeGrom were to use foreign substances, you literally would not physically be able to see his pitches. They would just exist on another plane.
Yeah, like they would just disintegrate as they approached the
phantom realm or the quantum realm or whatever.
It would be like the new Loki series. Like, it would just create like an alternate branch in the timeline. Like, as the pitch is going, it would just branch off, and they'd be like, "Oh, we've got a time variant here, Jacob DeGrom. Here comes the timekeepers."
The umpires are turned into the TBA.
For real. Like, that's
trying to catch the deviant DeGrom.
That's what would happen, more or less. So I think it was it Tomas Nito who said, one of the Mets players when they were defending him said, like, if he was using substances, you wouldn't even be able to foul a ball off him.
Yeah, I think that was Nito.
Yeah, which is true.
I think JD said they've even told them use it, so, because we just want to see what happens.
Yeah, like how much more like elite can ridiculous. You get? Yeah, like, can you have a 0 ERA for a full season? Challenge accepted. It's gonna be a whole production. I don't know if they're gonna make like this big like stink about like doing it every inning to every pitcher for the whole rest of the season.
Lindsay Adler tweeted that they didn't check Cole in the first inning because it's supposed to be random. They think they didn't get Cole until like the third inning.
Okay. I mean, they're not supposed to. I mean, they know it's coming, but they're not supposed to know exactly when it's coming. Otherwise, it kind of defeats the purpose, because then you could be like using the stuff and then the inning that you know they're checking, just don't use it for that inning. So I think that, it's supposed to be random, but like the first day they seem to be checking every pitcher after the first inning, basically, like on both teams.
Amazing how Major League Baseball managed to take something that was already pretty complicated and make it infinitely more convoluted and with all kinds of truly unnecessary layers and rules but not all the rules. There's still a lot of very, very gray. It's just amazing how they bring all of these undesirable qualities of a policy into one beautiful place. That is MLB in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, it's pretty incredible.
Have they, like, ironed out what do they do if they catch somebody mid-game? Like, do they get tossed?
Yeah, I think they get ejected from the game, and then they get suspended. They can't keep letting them pitch in the game. That would kind of defeat the purpose, would it not? Oh, we know you're cheating. Carry on.
Oh, wait. What happened?
You're in big trouble.
Oh, JD, my man.
Oh, did they show him? Is he with the team?
Yeah, he was cheering. I think because maybe they just got their first hit.
Oh.
Or they could rule it an error, which is quite possible. Wait, who was that batting?
Who did they?
Did somebody bunt? Oh, it was Eichhoff. Oh, that's why JD was cheering. Wait, it was Eichhoff.
Eichhoff is hitting. Why?
Peterson hit earlier in the game. It was a swinging bunt.
Good lord. We're at the point where multiple pitchers have already hit in this game.
Yeah, Peterson and no Eichhoff.
Things are going great, folks.
Yeah, if that was their first hit,
if he was bunting, is because they had already had
JD,
another.
That's got to be a gift. Somebody gift JD, please. I know this isn't airing until tomorrow, but please.
I guess because like VR and Nito are probably both unavailable, so you're playing like two dudes short on the bench. They sent Drury down, so things are going great.
So I guess they only have Peraza, really.
Mazika.
Oh, and Mazika, and you can't use Tim.
And I guess if you're in a bunt situation, you send up a pitcher. Yeah, gotta save Mazeka for the walk off.
Obviously.
That's going great.
That's where we are in Mets land.
Jared, that's where we are.
yeah, I mean, the Mets do have Alonso on the bench right now.
Yes.
That's probably...
They're probably saving him for a spot.
Yeah. Still, if you had a player on base and this was the first time they've had a base runner in a long time, then I would have taken that moment. But
let's play alert whatever. That McNeil grounded it out to end the inning. So they may have gotten their first hit, which was Jared Eichhoff, but...
Awesome.
No dice.
So the other quick like baseball wide story I wanted to mention before we move on to answering the email that we got this week is the minor league situation is ongoing. And I think we mentioned this like in an earlier pod, like maybe a few weeks ago. We talked about how the minor leaguers are, you know, not being treated well by their teams, shockingly enough. And that is continuing. Mark in Baseball Prospectus, he wrote a really awesome piece that I'll link in the show notes and such like, and in the tweets about the current minor league baseball situation. The title of it is Minor League Players Can't Afford Housing Even with a Raise. And it's gotten to the point where like there will be like regular rumors about minor leaguers like sleeping in their cars and things like that because the teams like won't pay for their housing and they can't afford it on their own. So that's awesome. And by awesome, I mean really, really terrible.
Capitalism, it's the best. It's working so great.
Oh yeah, here's the story from, because Mark talks about it in the piece. Here's the story from players sleeping in their cars. It was the Bowie Bay Sox, which are an Orioles minor league affiliate. We've just been told that multiple players on the Bowie Bay Sox are considering sleeping in their cars beginning tomorrow night. The Bay Sox are the AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. We're told that members of the Bay Sox will receive about $900 after taxes for their entire two-week homestand and are on their own for housing beginning tomorrow at 11 a.m. We're told that players simply cannot afford to spend roughly 80% of their paycheck on the team hotel. According to one player, quote, "We don't know what to do." So that's like really not good. I know that like that Bowie Bay Sox situation ended up getting resolved. I can't remember. There was some sort of technicality and like obviously that got a lot of attention. And so like they, you know, real quick moved to rectify that. And someone had contacted the Bowie Bay Sox like GM or something. And they issued a quote and then there was like, they fixed it at least with some temporary situation. But the problem is that like usually a lot of minor leaguers rely on host families to house them. And MLB got rid of that during COVID because, you know, for safety reasons, but then like they don't give them an alternative for that. So it's like, what are they supposed to do?
After not getting paid all of last year either.
Like,
because they didn't play last year. So now it's like they're already, you know, scrambling after that. Now you're putting them in a tough spot again. Like, they're just abusing these poor kids at this point.
And there have also been like pictures of like the quote meals that a lot of the minor leaguers are getting. And it's like Firefest level shit. Like the type of stuff that's like.
I genuinely thought one of the pictures was a Firefest photo.
It looked the same. It was like two sad pieces of cheese on a sandwich. It literally looked like the Firefest thing, but it was a minor league lunch.
According to the A's, they have fired that contractor, but we'll see.
Yeah. So like this is just like an ongoing story that occasionally like something will get written about it to bring attention to the situation. Like Mark will write this piece or like somebody else will write something, but like this never stops happening. It's like continuously an issue that minor leaguers do not get paid a living wage. Just pay your minor leaguers a living wage, for God's sake. Like please, like we will keep yelling about this into the void occasionally because it keeps being a problem then, and it doesn't, and it hasn't changed much.
Still such a tiny percentage of the money these teams make. And I think like the money that they even spend on like, you know, biometrics and, you know, a whole new analytics department, which are good things and they should be putting money into those things. But like how many minor leaguers could you feed for a season on that money. A lot.
Yeah. It's
just the least they could do, the literal least they could do.
Yeah. And I mean, Mark calculates it in the piece and writes, it would cost about $6 million per team to pay minor leaguers a $50,000 salary and provide them with housing. $6 million per team. That is the cost of like a low tier.
It's like a Jonathan Villar.
Yeah. Like yeah, approximately might even one. Be less. Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Villar made only like, I think the Mets only signed him for like $1 million. He's been a bargain.
Okay.
But, but you know, like a guy like that, like Kevin Pillar, yeah. I think is going to make like $5 million next year if they exercise his option, I think. So it's like one Kevin Pillar. Like, are you serious? Like to pay them $50,000.
Yeah, we've talked about this. You also get a competitive advantage if you have healthy ball players
who like haven't slept in their cars.
Yeah,
the Mets know all too well.
Neck. Yeah,
the Mets know all too well what happens when your players like sleep funny. And like
Miguel Castro
and like, and the Mets have had like multiple guys who've had like back issues. Like I remember at one point, like Steven Matz with like missed a few starts because his back hurt because he slept on a weird mattress. It's like, how much, like major leaguers have no excuse for that. It's like, you make a major league salary, buy a Tempur-Pedic for God's sake. But like, yeah, it's very simple to pay your minor leaguers enough to just like have a quality of life. And then maybe they can perform up to their best ability as athletes, like nutrition.
What a novel idea.
Sleep. Yeah,
and just for like their own mental health too. Like I can't imagine not knowing where you're sleeping that night is good for your mental health.
Right. Or I remember like, when like the Mets had to be like, basically forced against a wall to pay for Dominic Smith's CPAP machine. Like, are we serious with this stuff?
Well, that was the Wilpons, but
yeah, but still, like, that is not, that's not an isolated like
no.
way of thinking among these franchises. Like,
yeah, look at the difference that made for him too.
Huge difference. Like, yeah, it's just, it's very sad, and minor leaguers deserve to get paid a living wage. That's it.
We don't love it, folks.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk. But yeah, so we haven't answered emails on the show in a while, so I would like to do that in a segment we call the Seventh Inning Stretch, where we answer your correspondence. So Tom Johnson sent us an email a few days ago and said, "Greetings, Apato. I posed a similar question to Jeff and I think Steve Saipa back in 2014, only with David Wright as the player being traded. But the situation is that you are the GM of the Mets and you've been given some clairvoyancy. You'll have to," and he says in parentheses, "you'll have to suspend some belief for this exercise. And your vision shows a team that has five players you can trade for that will help the Mets reach the World Series four times in the next 8 years. Your vision does not show you the outcome of any of the World Series appearances. The catch is, to get the five players, you have to include Jacob DeGrom in the deal. So do you make the trade?" So basically, is there any circumstance in which you would trade Jacob DeGrom?
So you basically have like a 50% shot at winning the World Series in the next 8 years. So if you make it 4 out of 8 years.
Yeah. So basically, right, the idea is like, you trade Jacob DeGrom, but you get five players that'll guarantee you make the World Series four times in the next 8 years. It doesn't guarantee that you win, but just that you'll make it there four times in the next 8 years.
The odds of four appearances.
Yeah, you would think you would win at least one.
Yeah.
It certainly has to be part of the equation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, like, it almost distills down to, like, would you give up Jacob DeGrom to get a World Series?
Look, I saw the Rangers have the best goalie in the planet. Like, best goalie in all of, you know, one of the best goalies in all of history. They made the playoffs every year for, like, a good, like, 12 years. And they made the World Series at the Stanley Cup once and lost. So having the best at something doesn't guarantee you anything, but I love Jake too much.
It's hard.
It is. Like, I mean, look at the Angels with Mike Trout in Shohei Ohtani.
like, yeah, like you have two of
they're
the best
historic.
You have two of the best players like ever to play the game. I mean, Mike Trout is the best player to ever play the game, and Shohei Ohtani is a completely unique player, like the only like true two-way player since like Ruth, and like they don't have shit to show for it because they haven't supported them with real players.
Okay, so having the literal like best pitcher in the game, I don't know if that guarantees you anything. But
I mean, here's the thing. I've been thinking about this since Allison shared it with us. And ultimately, I think, do you know who would agree to that? Who would think that that would be the right trade to make? Jacob DeGrom would, because he is the most competitive person on the planet. And he would think you were a complete idiot if you wouldn't trade to get the win. That's what I feel like. I think you have to make that trade because Jacob DeGrom would lose respect for you if you didn't.
True. And here's,
I don't want to lose Jake.
And here's the calculus. And here's the calculus you have to make, right? Is like, what brings me more joy? And I'm thinking back at 2015 here, which is like an actual thing that happened and not theoretical, with because they were in the World Series that year. And I mean, Jake was on that team, so I'm trying to like isolate him from the rest of the experience, right? Like, what brings me more joy? Watching a Jacob DeGrom start, which is an extremely joyful experience, or it's experiencing my team in the World Series. I think it's the latter. I'm sorry. Like, obviously, the ultimate pinnacle of joy would be Jacob DeGrom pitching in a World Series, which we did, you know, in 2015. We were lucky enough. But it's like, I think if I had to choose one or the other, even though watching Jake pitch brings me a great amount of joy, like, the pinnacle as a baseball fan is winning a ring. And it's what you will do to get that. You should be willing to do basically anything. And this is basically anything is like trading your very best player, like potentially might end up being the best player in the history of the franchise when all is said and done.
Like, I think
it's some monkey like
thought exercise in a vacuum. That's the correct answer. But looking at the Mets history, like this is a Mets exercise and they blew David Wright. They blew Mike Piazza. They like they're most, you know, in the more recent years, they've won nothing with, you know, these, you know, the players that you love and you want to see win something. And you don't want Jake, you don't want to repeat that same mistake with Jake. Aww. So there's no, are we clairvoyant enough to say, you know, in the like Loki? If we like branch off, is there like a deviant Jake where we get to the World Series with Jake? Like, are we clairvoyant enough to see there's another option where maybe we get to like one World Series with Jake and then four without him?
I mean, in theory,
pretty sure you're not allowed to negotiate the thought exercise.
Yeah, you know, you're not. And Tom's not even here to defend himself.
But there's another side of the coin here.
but here's the thing. Like, you're talking about, like, you know, they wasted the prime of these amazing players' careers. And yes, by not winning anything. But I mean, on one hand, like, I think we keep forgetting that in this thought exercise, we're getting five players. So like,
but
there's,
are they but I won't love them as much as
I know you won't. I know we won't, but it will be five players that will help us potentially win a World Series. And then they'll become, you know, Mets legends in their own right, because any player, regardless of how long he's been on the team, that helps the Mets win the World Series is an auto legend at this point, given how few times they've won. Like, think about the fact that, like, I mean, Cespedes is kind of his own deal because he like re-signed with the Mets after. But like, think about somebody like Juan Uribe or Kelly Johnson, who like they were rental players who they traded for, and they weren't even like, you know, they were like bench players, but they're still like Mets legends, kind of like, you know, like,
yeah,
cult heroes, because they were a part of that team and they helped that team get to the World Series.
But still, you know, there's always going to be that nagging feeling in the back, like there is with David Wright. Like, you know, even if the Mets win now, I'll always be forever pissed at the Royals because David Wright does not have his ring. I'll be forever pissed at the Braves because Mike Piazza does not have his ring. So, yeah, I'll be happy for whatever team that is, the 2024 New York Mets. I'll love them with my whole heart and I'll celebrate, but I'll still be pissed that Jacob DeGrom was not part of it. And that you couldn't figure out a way to win with him.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems like another failure on the Mets' part. Like, you couldn't build a team around him. Like, you couldn't around David Wright.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, but... yeah. So, I mean, the correct answer is to trade him, but it's still, there would always be that regret, I think.
I agree. It'd be painful, for sure. It'd be painful.
Unless Jake wins somewhere else, but I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, preferably they win with Jake, which is another reason why you can't punt this season, even if the situation looks dire. They have to do everything they can because they're in first place as they near, you know, the All-Star break. They're in first place and they need to do everything they can to make the playoffs because who knows what happens once you get there. And this might be your last chance to get Jacob DeGrom a ring. So you have to freaking do it. I'm sorry. All right. Even though the Mets are broken and things are sad, we will end the show on a happy note with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
So this weekend we drove up to my mom's house in Connecticut, which is always a good time. We all love my mom. My mom was like a really good grandma kind of mom, like really, really nails all that stuff. And like one thing that we were sort of half thinking about was like maybe swinging by her. She's like a little lake beach in her neighborhood that we've gone to. But I was a little nervous because my son, he's six, almost seven, he's been really like fussy about playing in water lately, like for the last year or so, which kind of came out of nowhere because he was like this little water bug when he was little. So, you know, but I didn't push. He didn't really want to do it, but so I didn't push. And then I was going to go take Ellie, just me. And he was like, I could go play in the sand, but I don't want to go in the water. And no problem. We got there. It was empty. It always is. I don't understand why. It was 82 degrees and gloriously sunny. And they got little shady spots. It's beautiful. And we were there 30 seconds and this boy had stripped down to his underwear and run into the water.
Oh.
And was like swimming and went out in the canoe and like just had a wonderful time. And then, so of course, we all had a wonderful time. And like I said, it was a gorgeous day. It was like 82 degrees. And then after we swam around for a couple hours, we went back to mom's house and where she had made like barbecue chicken and fresh strawberry shortcakes for dessert because I'd been so depressed about a very bad Momofuku milk bar strawberry shortcake situation. And so she made me fresh strawberry shortcake, like the legit stuff. And it was so good. So it was just like A+ weekend, but especially like on the beach with my kids, having like the best beach day that I in no way expected would come. So it was like a wonderful surprise, a beautiful day. And then there was strawberry shortcake. And I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Strawberry shortcake.
That's like the perfect summer day. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I'm like sighing just thinking.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
Yes. Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
My walk-off win, I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but our summer reading opener is on Saturday and I'm having animals come.
Yay!
And these are the same people that I snuggled the kangaroo with last time. But I don't know if they're bringing the kangaroo. He probably grew up because that was 20 in 2019, so he's probably not a baby anymore. And you can't snuggle full grown kangaroo, which is kind of upsetting.
You could try.
I can. I can see.
Can I just crawl into your pouch and take a nap?
Yeah.
You are not supposed to.
And then can you like hop around? So I know they're bringing goats and you know, it's tails and tails is our summer reading theme. So they're bringing the tortoise and the hare. So they're bringing a real tortoise and a hare who are friends. They're they have to be kept together because then they get very upset if they get separated, which is really super cute.
That's adorable.
And
animals that get lonely is one of my favorite things.
I know. I love when they like snuggle with each other. It's so cute. So I hope it's a beautiful day on Saturday. And you know, this is one of our first like live programs that we've done in a good like year. So I'm hoping everything goes well. I hope it's a nice, beautiful, sunny day so the animals can be outside as Maddie is clawing at my back while I'm talking about animals. I don't know if you could hear her.
She senses that you're giving animals emotional attention that are not her.
That's not her. Yeah, she's probably very jealous right now. And but yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing people again. And, you know, seeing people without masks again, because it's going to be outside. So it's kind of weird, like, having to readjust, like, seeing faces again. It's like, oh, wait, I do know you. Like, I recognize you now. And like, we had
stuff to my face. Like, yeah. Wash it and put makeup on it.
Yeah. And we actually got a lot of really nice donations from a lot of the businesses in town. So it was just nice that, you know, people were willing to help us. And I hope, you know, we get a lot of people who want to read this summer. So, and everybody should sign up for their summer reading at their local library. That's just going to be a plug because I'm sure those librarians have been working really hard because it's always a busy time of year. So if you have kids, please take them to the local library and sign them up for summer reading.
Libraries are air conditioned and free.
Yes, and they
if you have cool children stuff. There is no place better in the world, air conditioned and free.
It's and they beautiful. Totally have cool programs going thing. On just yes. You know, take a look, you'll be surprised at what's going on at your local library. Like we have a lot of I have more animals coming in July, and that's they amazing. Tailored a program called Magical Beasts and Where to Find Them, which I thought was really cool. So it's going to be all like animals that you find in stories, like a little they have a bearded dragon, an owl.
I'm gonna have to find out more details about this because we are definitely looking for summer activities. Yeah. And you are not that far a drive for us.
No, definitely. I would love to see you guys. So, and you get a goodie bag if you sign up. Like I got swag for you.
All right. Something's percolating here.
Okay. We'll talk off air.
Yes.
All right. So that's my walk off one. But everybody, yeah, libraries are fun. And I hope
support your local library.
And I hope I get to snuggle more animals on Saturday.
Amazing. I just have to read this tweet on air and aside before I get to my walk-off win, because we were talking about the Max Scherzer situation before, and John Taylor tweeted, "Why would you intentionally piss off Max Scherzer, a man whose bones are made out of spite and fury?" Which is a completely accurate description of Max Scherzer.
Anyway, I think he could probably kill me with his thoughts.
Yeah, he probably could. Like, I would drop dead in the street if he looked at me and was mad. So this is like my walk-off win is like somewhat related, which is that Kellyanne came down to visit Michael and I in DC. And we went to 3 out of 4 of the Mets Nats games this weekend. And it was a lot of fun. Obviously, the Mets only won one of them, but at least we got to see the one game the Mets did win. And it was, you know, like to date, the best game that Francisco Lindor has had in a Mets uniform. He had five RBIs and he had two home runs. And that was friggin' awesome, especially on a day when the Nats social media decided to tweet about how much better Trey Turner is than him. So that was like really fun. And it was just overall a really fun weekend in DC. We got to go to Politics and Prose, which is the local bookstore. And obviously Kellyanne, like Linda being a librarian, greatly enjoyed that. So it was just a really, really pleasant weekend. Got to sample a lot of the local food. We went to like a pizza place before the first game on Saturday and got brunch. I got a breakfast pizza and it was incredible. Ooh. Yeah, it was like a pizza with like egg and bacon bits on it. And it was amazing. And yeah, so, and all of this was to celebrate Kellyanne's birthday. So happy birthday, Kellyanne. I'm so glad that we got to spend it together in DC. It was such a fun time. So that was really great. So that's my walk-off win. But yeah, that does it for the show this week. Hopefully the Mets will be slightly less broken the next time we have this discussion. But in the meantime, you can go to amazingavenue.com, check out all of our fantastic content. We will have updates for you the second they happen on various Mets ailments. But we will also have analysis, game recaps, morning news posts every morning for you guys. So check all of that out. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow the show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow each of us on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Cerevich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
So you can follow the show and each of us on Twitter. You can also email the show. We answered an email on the pod this week, and we should be doing that more. So please email us if you want us to answer a question on the show or talk about a specific topic. Please email us, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can also DM us on Twitter as well. So yeah, you can contact us that way. Please rate and review the show and subscribe to it on your podcast app of choice. It really helps people find the show. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in podcasting.